Well, I have a bunch of flutes here, and the first two that I want to play are Renaissance flutes, which I've been playing for the last year or year and a half. And they're very simple. They're just one piece with six holes and nothing for either pinky or thumbs, just a seventh hole to blow across. And this first piece that I like to play is by an Italian, Giovanni Bassano. He wrote a bunch of pieces called Ricercars in 1585 for a solo instrument. And actually, I haven't heard of anybody playing them on Renaissance flute. They're played on recorder. Renaissance flute is something that's very rarely heard. In the first place, very few people make very good copies of them. These two are copies from old flutes in museums that were made for me by my friend Rudy Toots. Actually, you would say Toots, Rudolf Toots, I guess, in Innsbruck in Austria. And this summer, we're going to go to Italy together and look at some flutes in museums and make copies of Renaissance flutes. So this is one of those Ricercars by Bassano, and a Ricercar was like a free fantasy sort of piece, an instrumental piece. Ricercars were some of the earliest instrumental music, in fact, most of the music being vocal or having vocal origins. Perhaps I'll try and play another one of those. That was the fourth one, and this is the first. Mm-hmm. really the hardest thing about playing these three flutes is to really feel the tone of each one, to know what each one should sound like, and that happens to me even with modern flute. Although I've been playing it for 20 years, if I put it aside for a week, then there are certain muscles that are lax, relaxed, and therefore, because I don't have this certain muscular control after a week's vacation, I can't get a certain kind of sound, a certain clarity to the sound. And that happens even after, say, 3 days sometimes. So it's important to keep up on all three. But even if I play all three each day, I have to really know what each sound is like. And I'm just beginning, really, to discover what the Renaissance flute should sound like. True confessions.
Jeff, what are they made out of?
Well, this one here is maple. It happens that maple was a common wood for Renaissance flutes, but it doesn't work at all for Baroque flutes. They never made these out of such a soft wood. But many Renaissance flutes are also made out of a harder wood. This one is boxwood, which grows, I think, quite frequently, commonly as a shrub here, but in England, parts of Europe, and there are different varieties in South America too, there's boxwood that grows very big. So boxwood is very expensive. This little chunk would be maybe $70 or so, because it takes, actually this is a pretty small hunk, but for a larger instrument like a straight piece like this, it's quite rare to find a box tree that grows that large. And then this has little horn rings on it, and they all have a cork inside to stop the end. That is what you'd call a tenor flute, the normal flute that one might play. This would be a descant. All the instruments in those days were in families, a descant playing a higher, the tenor then sort of in the middle, and then the bass. So if I had a complete family here, I should also have a bass. It would be about that long. Old Rudy Toots is gonna churn one out of wood for me, maybe next summer. But even though this isn't a bass, it makes a wonderful carrying case for the small. So that was 1585. Now, Baroque music is becoming the fashion. Not that that was a term in those days, but the musical tastes were changing into what we call Baroque music from Renaissance music around 1600 already. Actually, the music that I'm going to play on this was about 1640s, but there are always people that are writing in the old style, hangover from the past. For instance, the Fugs were from the hangover from medieval music. No, punk is... That's a little obscure. You have to have taken music history to really understand that. But this is an old Dutch fellow, Jacob van Eyck, who played tunes in the style of people 100 years ago. He liked to play variations on popular tunes of the time. He was blind, and he played recorder and also a little flute like this, and was paid by the city, wherever he lived in Holland, to wander around the graveyard and entertain the spirits with his tootling. Keep an eye out to my left for the blue and yellow spirits that will dance. Then somebody asked him to play a lot of his tunes for them, and they took them down and published a couple of volumes in 1640s. A lot of them were popular tunes, but this is variations on a hymn that was well known. He also did a lot of psalm tunes, and it's the Lord's Prayer with variations by Jacob van Eyck. Flutes took on a conical bore. They taper and they have just one little key to play an extra note down there at the bottom. This one is made out of ebony and ivory, and it's a copy of a flute, a German flute in Nuremberg about 1720, but the copy was made in Berlin about 4 years ago. And it's a flute that's about the time of Bach. It's a true Baroque flute. I'd like to play first a piece called Gigue en Rondeau. And, well, that means a gigue, a kind of dance, in rondo form, which means that there's a little tune that keeps recurring throughout with new material interspersed in between. And this is by a flutist who was born about 1700, Michel Blavé. To play a couple of Telemann fantasies. This is the third one in B minor, and it's in a couple of short segments.
Thank you.
Second fantasy, I wish I could remember the little names of the parts, but I can't. So it's in, I think, three little movements. Slow, kind of laid back, and jumpy. Thank you. I forgot about a fast part in there. There isn't much really meaty that we can play on flute alone without any accompaniment, but there's a Bach piece, the Partita for solo flute, that I'd just like to, before I move on to the modern flute, just to give you a taste of what Bach sounds like on this, just the Allemande, the first movement. And to me, it's kind of like an organ on flute, on just a flute. It sort of fills a lot of space going up and down. The Allemande from the Partita in A minor for solo flute by J.S. Bach. Play some pieces from a collection that I found recently that have just been published, but the music was written in the 40s, They're called Songs of Nectar, and they're by a French composer, Charles Cushlin. And they all have kind of neat titles. This first one is The Illuminated Forest. Playing in the Clearing. Drinking in the Shade in Summer. Thank you. I like to think of a well like this with, on a really hot day in the sun with the water down. And then along another water theme, the sea of innumerable noises. These are all just translations, and I don't know how exact they are. They might be a little bit rough. Goat herder, undoubtedly with his little flute. Rustling of the leaves. Dance of the Nymphs in Sunlight. Thank you. one more. Gaiety of a sunlit morning. I just have two more French pieces that I'd like to play, and the first one is by Jacques Ibert, who's pretty well known for much larger works. He was on a ship, a cruise, with flutist Louise Moyse, and Moyse wanted to have something to play for the folks during cocktail hour, I suppose. So he asked Ibert if he'd write him this, and he quick tossed it off. It's just called Peace, by Jacques Ibert.
Thank you.
And last, the piece that many of you have heard, Syrinx by Debussy. And I might as well tell the story, at least in abbreviated form. Pan is running after Syrinx, who's his girlfriend and a cute little nymph. She is just dying to be caught, but she's playing the game nonetheless. She's diving in and out through the trees of the forest and comes to the riverbank where there are a whole bunch of reeds and decides that she'll pull a clever little trick on her boyfriend. So she turns herself into some reeds. Then Pan comes charging to the bank there and sees nothing but the water all of a sudden, this wide expanse of water and a few reeds on either side. And he has a reaction that actually Syrinx did not anticipate, and that is that, completely at a loss, not able to find her by eye or nostril, because he's a satyr, of course, he's half goat, Pan becomes very sad, and because he really likes his little friend, and not just sad maybe, but also maybe a little bit full of a little love mixed in there, who knows. So he sits down and he just is dying to break out and express himself. So he thinks, well, I'll make a flute. So he pulls out his trusty Swiss Army knife and cuts down some reeds to make one of those panpipes. Well, of course, he made a flute out of his friend, Syrinx. Syrinx being the name of his friend and the name of his pipes and also the name of his piece. This piece that Debussy wrote and that Syrinx played, the very first thing that he played on his new flute. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jeff?
Yeah? I have sort of a different set of chops that I'm wearing. Yes, by golly. I'm feeling a little bit gummy in there, but...
Mm-hmm.